Good evening and welcome to American Conservative Party Talk Radio. My name is Tracy.
And I'm just plain Bill.
Just plain. Plain ordinary. Every
yep.
day.
There you go.
Doesn't make any difference, Bill.
Yep.
How you doing, Bill?
Oh, man, I'm just dancing jigs.
It
I'm shaking
like
a leg.
Clean, a
Not
clean
Chris Matthews'
clean.
Leg, though. Mm-mm.
Yeah. Well, somebody said, I wonder what feeling is going up Matthew's leg tonight. And I'm thinking, well, you know, it's probably what's going down Matthew's leg.
Yeah, tonight. That's that warm, wet, down the leg feeling.
Warm, wet feeling going down the leg. Oh, my God.
Yes, indeed.
I'm liking, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you. I can't. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I was involved in a very intense conversation for most of the last hour up until about 10 to 15 minutes before showtime. So I haven't been paying much attention. I've been trying to get people to give me information. But it looks like on the East Coast, clean sweep all the way across the board.
So
that'd
far.
Be really cool. Including
in Maine. Virginia just went bright red. Took all three top jobs in the state of Virginia by huge margins. Just big time. Hoffman is running kind of neck and neck. I think the last time I looked, he was about 4 points back with only about 6% of the vote in, which means that his strength hasn't reported in yet. In New Jersey, our guy is up and seems to be holding his lead. Now, there's a little bit of question as to, okay, what counties have reported? And I don't know New Jersey well enough to be able to say, well, yeah, but we still got stuff coming in.
Well, you know, as somebody suggested, you know, in New Jersey, all the voting is not going to be in until all the dead people are counted.
Well, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
Of course.
I heard that there was a truck and tractor heading out from Chicago towards New Jersey. A couple of SEIU and some Acorn folks were driving it, so I don't know.
Well, I'm from Chicago originally.
Yeah, I know. you know all about those. You know where all those cemeteries are, huh?
Yeah, you know there are three positions in section of the each precinct of the Chicago political hierarchy. There's the poll watcher, and then there's the precinct captain, and then there's the grave counter.
Uh-huh, okay.
They have to all get together and sign the paper at the end that says how many people voted. So, the Maine looks like it is going to be the first, as it stands right now, the first state to put gay marriage back into place by vote.
Nah, it doesn't surprise me in Maine.
So, yeah, up in that little corner up in the world.
Yep,
you know,
yep, yep,
you gotta
yep.
Take everything and get up there.
all 48 of them, or something, right?
Yeah. So we'll see. I'll be happy if that goes in there. As I've been suggesting to people all day, that would be a clean sweep for conservative principles. Yes, I consider that to be a conservative principle. You and I have had this discussion, so I won't go carrying away into it on this wonderful night for conservatives. I shall let everybody bask in the glow of conservative domination in the electrical ballot boxes today.
Okay, and enough basking. Now back to work.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Truly, though, you know, folks, this is basically three states, and you can't stop. You can't say, oh, God, look at that. By God, we're just so good, we can just sit back and rest on our laurels, because that is what got us where we are today. You can't do that. You got to work just as hard all the way through November the 3rd or 4th, whatever it is, in 2010, to be able to make this work.
Well, I think we have benefited from the fact that the conservative movement has been it is not like a bonfire.
Nope.
It is like a slowly growing, well-defined movement that continues to incrementally improve both its breadth and its depth.
Yes.
And I think if we can continue that process, and there's no good reason, given the fact that Obama is doing everything in his power to piss people off.
Oh, yeah.
That he will continue to do so. I was able to have several conversations with Butch Porter, who is the chairman of the American Conservative Party, over the last several days.
Yes.
And he informs me that things are moving very nicely as far as membership is going is concerned. Obviously, Rush helped us a whole lot by talking about the Conservative Party, even though he did not necessarily mean to be talking about us specifically.
Right.
There was a significant amount of confusion going on with people over the Conservative Party of New York State, which is not affiliated with the American Conservative Party.
That's right.
And calling it the Conservative Party of the New York Conservative Party is, in fact, our affiliate in New York that just doesn't have a whole lot going on in it right now, because the Conservative Party of New York State is a fairly well-organized, very long-term...
Long time, yeah.
...conservative organization in New York that we have approached and had general conversations with about some affiliation or some, working together. But in any case, many, many people are coming in from all over the country. We are making sure that people, when they call and are, sending emails, are understanding that Hoffman is not an American Conservative Party candidate.
No, he is not, although we have endorsed him.
We have endorsed him. Actually did so about a week ago, right?
Yes, I think it was about a week ago, yeah.
The other side to that is you and I both... went for the Hoffman campaign somewhat sooner before that.
Yes.
The advantage of being solo citizens is that we have no committee to respond to.
Isn't that nice?
Not suggesting that the American Conservative Party has a significant committee to which to do so, but like any organization, it has to, think separately, act jointly.
Yes.
So.
Absolutely.
That's there. I'm even at this particular point in time, maybe it's heresy to say so. Even if people are joining the Republican Party as conservatives, I'm actually happy with that, inasmuch as too many conservatives have abdicated their responsibilities and are finally waking up to those responsibilities and getting themselves active.
Absolutely.
And I think active conservatives are certainly the best kind of conservatives.
Yep.
I would prefer, as far as the party is concerned, that we had a few more rich conservatives.
Actives, yes.
That were active.
Yeah.
Only because it would have a tendency to offset some of the, millions of dollars that pour down the liberal rat hole.
Oh, boy.
But... the advantage is the organic growth has to be, by definition, time and energy oriented rather than money driven.
Hey, let me just break in. The AP and Politico have just called New Jersey for Christie. Oh, man, oh, man.
You know what? Christie is going to need a dump truck when he moves into that, governor's office.
Yeah.
Because the closets there
Uh-huh.
Got an awful lot of skeletons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, I understand Chicago's got some pretty good cemeteries, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Good cemeteries. but in Chicago, you know, the powers that be have a pretty big stranglehold on, you know, where all the skeletons are buried.
Yeah, ma'am.
You know, the old man was there for a lot of years, and the sun has just picked up where everything else was, so, you know, that's about 40 years we've had a daily in charge of Chicago.
Hmm.
You know, lots of skeletons dissolve in 40 years.
Yeah, yeah.
You're gone and lost forever. However, of course, Corzine doesn't have that benefit.
No,
you know,
he does not.
Given everything else that's going on there with people being indicted around him, I should think that he's going to claim at some point diplomatic immunity. Maybe he should go talk to Traficant and see ask him how that went.
Yeah. Let's see. Traficant, he's a dude that just got out of prison, right?
He's the dude that just got out of prison.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he could go. Actually, he should take a trip over to Illinois. I think we've got two former governors in Illinois currently in prison. You know, just to get an idea what things are like. Stop by, say hi. Know any friends that you could recommend me to?
Yeah, right.
So
yeah.
By
the way, we have a new listener.
What?
Jeremy Blaze. I saw him on Twitter.
Jeremy. Oh, Jeremy. I think Jeremy's from Texas. Isn't that who we were talking to like 2 weeks ago?
I don't know. No, I don't think so. Uh-uh.
No.
I don't think so. Anyway, I just saw that on Twitter. Thought I'd throw it in there.
All right. So, good things going on for elections. Good things going on for conservatives. Every single attempt at, you know, I just am amazed. The mindset people have about Sarah Palin, about her being, you know, stupid and uneducated and unintelligent, you know, and every time, was it Daggett down in Jersey or was,
Daggett
in Jersey. Daggett in Jersey. Daggett.
Incidentally, did you happen to pick up? I saw it on Twitter. Did you happen to pick up that he was an appointee of Corzine's?
Daggett was an appointee of Corzine?
Yeah.
Yeah. Surprise.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, for those of you that don't know, Daggett accused Sarah Palin over the weekend of contacting him and asking him to step aside for the benefit of the conservative movement.
Yes, he did.
Palin said, not only did I not, but come to think of it.
Exactly.
if you want to, go right ahead. I mean,
right.
She just leaves these nice little, flaming bags of shit for people to stand on.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
They just go right ahead and do it.
You know, it's absolutely fascinating to me to watch social media, whether that be Facebook, Twitter, any of those, have such an impact.
You know, I do, but you understand that the impact is actually considerably, although we see it because we're so heavily involved in it.
True.
And it reverberates in a larger sphere that's represented by, you know, talk radio and blogs and, you know, even to a certain extent, cable. It doesn't resonate beyond that.
I was thinking about that the other day, and I'm not sure that that's true. And here's why I think that. you and I are heavily involved in Twitter.
Yes.
Others, such as Sarah Palin, are heavily involved in Facebook. But each of us, all of us, talk to other people that are not on Facebook, Twitter, any of those other kinds of social media sites. And so consequently, what happens is, like a rock in a pond, that ripples out. People write letters to the editor. People talk to their neighbors and discover, gosh, they're just as upset with all this as I am. They didn't know it before, but they do now. And that small little pebble in the pond started out on the social media, and then it ripples out.
Oh, I agree that it eventually works its way out.
Yes, it does.
Not with the intensity or the speed at which it moves in the spheres that you and I wander
yes.
around. But that's okay. You're right. It's perfectly okay that it happens that way, because like the conservative movement at this point, it becomes organic. It becomes, you know, self-sustaining over a much broader, populace,
mm-hmm.
without it being, easily dismissed as a little flare here and there.
Yes.
Because it keeps getting, reinforced over and over and over again. And you and I have talked about this, the idea that, even 15 years ago, in 1994, there simply wasn't the mediums to, get information out. So, Gingrich had to do his Contract for America in front of TV and try and get it
yep.
into TV and kind of push.
Yep.
Now you can do something like that into the social media. You can bypass the media, and it becomes, a million person knowledge before the media even begins to pick up on it.
Oh, absolutely.
In fact,
I can give you a really concrete example of that. I've been having a conversation with some young conservatives, college age, high school age, etc., and a couple of other Twitterers have been in on that conversation. And what I was looking for, rock the vote, is a liberal mantra. And if you Google rock the vote, the very first three sites that you find on there are liberal sites. And I said, what's the catchy slogan that's going to catch young people? And there's a couple that we have come up with based on that rock the vote thing. One is rock the vote right. And the other is rock the vote the right way. And that appears to have gotten a little traction. I was following the hashtag VUV, which were young college conservatives that were working for McDonnell in Virginia. And all of a sudden, some of them are starting to use that.
Well, I like mine better.
Okay, what's that?
I don't know. I told you about it. Well, what did I
say? I don't know.
Your country, make it
government. Yep. That's a good one, too. I like that one, too.
Otherwise, it's just like, saying, well, I invented a better mousetrap because, I use provolone cheese.
Yeah, right.
using the rock the vote thing, you're using rock the vote.
Yeah.
It's like got milk. People started saying, using that for all
mm-hmm.
kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Different things. Yep.
And of course, when we went up to Pike's Peak, it said, got air. No.
Yeah, right.
40,000 feet. No, yeah. I didn't have air.
Yeah,
I didn't
right.
Have air.
I'd like
you.
Some, please.
Give me oxygen.
Yeah.
So, you know, you know, that's fine. You know, frankly, you know, I'm 50 something years old. No matter how much I pay attention to the internet, no matter how much I listen to music, the reality is I am 30 years past the youth.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's like saying an old dog can't learn new tricks, and I'm sorry, I just don't believe that.
Oh, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying
oh, okay.
That an old dog can learn new tricks. They just can't jump as high as a young dog.
Well, yeah, that's true. You know what, though? There is a value in the synergy between that youthful enthusiasm and the pragmatism that older people show. There's a valuable synergy there. All we have to do is tap into that enthusiasm. And folks, you know, we can talk all day, night long, week long, year long, however long you want to talk about it, about what the education system does to our young people. But let me tell you something. From personal experience, I can tell you that we have some really exceptional young people out there. I sat on a scholarship committee for my Rotary Club in Weaverville, California. And I will tell you that regardless of their political leanings, and yes, most of them were liberal, as most of us were when we were young, they are outstanding think for themselves people. We ignore them at our own peril. If we can tap into that energy for those that are conservative, we have a very powerful force there that, one, we can learn from, and two, they can learn from us. Yeah?
Well, I'm more concerned with my own point of view.
Sure.
Than
yeah.
trying to, you know, I am going to allow the youngers to try and rock the youngers.
Okay, that's fine.
You know, I think I have decided, I think you were right, you brought this up a long, long time ago. I think you were right. I am way too much a policy wonk. I'm way too much involved in the philosophy and the ideology aspects of this. I would like to say that I'm willing to do the work that's necessary to do on the ground. But I'm not.
Yeah.
You know, I would certainly like to have, what can we call it? It can't be Ivory Tower because that's way too much liberal.
Yeah.
What can we call my little tower, which is in the basement?
I don't know. Call it the basement tower. I mean, that's fine.
The cellar. The dungeon.
There you go.
The war room.
Ah, there you go.
The bunker.
Well, yeah, that too.
The bunker does not exactly evoke, you know, impressions of, you know, cerebral thinking.
Well, I would tell you that, at least for me, and, you know, my biases are out there, Ivory Tower is a turnoff to me. Ivory Tower says to me, you know what, friend, you got a whole lot of book learning, you don't know anything about life.
That's certainly how I would be snarky about it.
Well, I have known professors, smart people, that if you didn't tell them to change their socks to make a match, they'd walk out of the house with mismatched socks. They would. I mean, yeah, they're cerebral, but you know what? Cerebral is not what makes the world go round. People do that. Common, ordinary, everyday, you and me, people.
Okay. Look, I've spent most of today. I've been busy, fairly busy today. I actually got down and started doing work at a fairly early. I'm still benefiting from the clock being an hour behind.
Hey, there you go.
So, still benefiting. I mean, I got down here at like 6:40 tonight. And I had already taken care of dinner for everyone else, and I had my dinner with me. So I was actually getting down here fairly early. I got some work done, you know, while I was eating dinner before I even had to start getting involved with anything else. But I spent most of the day being rather morose.
Oh.
I don't want to say depressed because, you know, that's not in my general makeup. I'm just not that way. But I am somewhat morose because I spent most of the weekend in rather significant debates. And I wasn't debating the left.
Mm.
I was debating the right.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I caught that. I caught that interchange with Kevin.
Yeah, that was actually kind of nice. I mean, you know,
mm-hmm.
I was just trying to convince him that he was actually a classical liberal than
exactly,
you know,
yeah.
and
not a libertarian,
that,
right?
You know, those are fine. I mean, you know, my general issue is, of course, I get accused of being libertarian all the time,
mm-hmm.
And that's not true. No, my problem is, I spent a significant amount of time on Red State again this weekend, arguing on multiple points. With conservatives, well, at least with Republicans, and in some cases conservatives,
mm-hmm.
By today, I was reaching the point where I'm sitting there like going, okay, what am I fighting for here? I am fighting for the idea of principles.
Yep.
The movement, ostensibly, is making its arguments, especially against the Republicans, against the people that are saying we have to accept the shit sandwiches, that we are, in fact, a movement of principles.
Mm-hmm.
My problem was the debates over the weekend were situations where the principles be damned, because the principles, in my opinion, and it was disputed, the principles led in a specific place that people didn't want to go.
Gee, let me guess. Were you talking about social issues?
Yes, we were talking about social issues.
Yeah, you know what? That.
But it wasn't just that. It was a combination because the issues I didn't think were, but are apparently pretty intertwined. Okay, and here's the deal. There's a significant number of people that are Republicans and in some cases conservatives that believe that pragmatism is necessary if we're going to win. Okay? And no matter how many times we went around this circle, we kept coming back to the thing, what good is winning if the result is Scazzafavo in office?
Yep. I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about something that Newt Gingrich said. And Newt said, you know what, if you've got somebody that's voting with you 70% of the time, that's good enough. And it didn't ring right to me, and so I had to sit down and I had to actually think about that. And here's the conclusion I came to. If the 70% of the time that they are voting with Republicans, conservatives, are on inconsequential matters, And the other 30% of the time, they are voting against you on things that actually matter. Then no, they're not conservative, and they're not even Republican.
And certainly not helpful.
Absolutely. I mean, if they're going to do that, change their party affiliation. I mean, I am prepared to see, who is it? Snow and Collins, they're in Maine, right?
Right.
They're the senators from Maine. I am prepared to say, you two, go change your party registration. I don't care. I don't care if a Democrat has those seats. Because you don't vote on us on the things with us on the things that matter. You vote with us on inconsequential things, but they're inconsequential. They don't mean anything. If you are going to vote against us on the things that matter, change your registration or let a D take over the seat. I don't care. I'm prepared to write Maine off. If that's the government that they want, let them have that.
And, of course, they would argue that, in fact, that they are Republicans and they are not Democrats compared to the people that are in their state.
And that's fine. They can make that argument, but my point still stands. If they vote against you on the 30% of the things that actually matter, it doesn't matter what the initial is after their name.
Well, one of the things that I said over the weekend was, you know, because they said, you know, they're conceding those seats to people like Collins and Snow, and I'm like, why? Why are you conceding those seats?
Yeah.
Why are you conceding? I don't care, and, you know, sorry to the person that it actually happens to happen to, but you know what? It has to happen. Okay?
Yes.
Even if a conservative is going to get their head handed to them in an election against them, you have to run. Somebody, a conservative, has to run against them and say, I am a conservative. If you don't want to vote for me, that's fine, but I am going to make my voice heard. I'm going to present the situation and say,
mm-hmm.
These are not conservatives that you have elected. And that's fine. If that's what you want, that's what you want.
Exactly.
Okay? My issue with the people that don't want that. They want to concede, because I heard it over and over again. New York 23 is a special circumstance. And I'm like, no. It's probably a special circumstance in that of the 435, it probably only really applies in about 400 of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
It was just this repetitive process of going over and over and over again, you know, we have to win. Because if you don't win, then your principles don't matter, you know, because then you don't get anything. And, of course, the argument then becomes once they're in, they have to stay in, so then the principles don't matter when they're in because they have to stay in.
Exactly.
You know, and it got to the point was, what is the purpose of having, you know, a John McCain in office and we say, we have the right kind of person in there so that when the Supreme Court, you know, nominations come up, we're going to have, you know, a conservative. I'm sitting like going, if you think John McCain was going to, you know, nominate an Alito, you know, into the Supreme Court, you're nuts. He's going to, at best, nominate a Souter, and probably a Kennedy. I mean, at best, that was what we're going to.
He's going to reach across the aisle.
In the meantime, what we're going to get is we're going to get 22 million illegal aliens in this country.
Exactly.
You know, welcomed with open arms. Like,
yep.
Is this ridiculous or not? The only reason you want a Republican, you know, as president, regardless of whether he's a mealy-mouthed, you know, rhino or not, is because maybe we'll be able to get a conservative on the Supreme Court. Okay, look, here's the deal, people. Okay? Abortion is not on the table. It's not. If John McCain was president, abortion wouldn't be on the table. If Sarah Palin were president, abortion would not be on the table. Barack Obama is president, abortion is not on the table.
Well, it is.
It is not.
Sure it is.
It
you
is
read
not.
The, you read the health care bill?
No.
Yeah.
Look, that health care bill, okay, would not be in existence would not have a hell's chance of being signed into law if Sarah Palin were president. I don't believe for a second that John McCain would not sign that bill.
We agree on that.
Okay.
We agree on
that. But the issue was talking about judges overturning Roe v. Wade, and that issue is not on the table.
I don't think that's the predominant issue.
Apparently to them, the only reason we have to make sure that, you know, the president gets in is so that he's in a position of, you know, nominating conservative justices to the Supreme Court. That was all they wanted. All the other stuff didn't care. They just wanted somebody that was going to nominate a conservative Supreme Court justice to the court so they could deal with things. I'm like, isn't that going to happen? Because even if you have 9 Alitos on the court, Roe v. Wade doesn't get overturned.
And you see, I think that you project that is the only issue that matters. And I'm telling you, no,
it
doesn't.
To the people that I was having a discussion with on Friday,
That may be.
And they were the same people that were telling us that unless we were willing to be pragmatic, unless we were willing to get rid of this idea that, you know, unless you were with us on principles, you are someone to be thrown out. And the discussion was talking about Newt. It's,
mm-hmm.
You know, because Eric at Red State, you know, was asking for Pete Sessions' resignation.
Okay.
Well,
as the NRSC, right?
Yeah, he wanted Sessions to resign.
Well, not from his Senate seat, but from the
National
Republican Senate Committee.
Right.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
You know,
I mean, there's a big difference.
The argument was that, you know, we were trying to throw good people out simply because they weren't conservative enough. And I'm sitting there like going, you know, if you're going to stand on principles even when it's uncomfortable, even when
mm-hmm.
you don't like the result, because, you know, that's the whole idea of a principle. You know, the First
right.
Amendment doesn't say, well, only
right.
if you like what they say.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, only
yeah.
if you're not offended by what they say.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
the First Amendment is for the people that offend, that say things you hate, that say
right.
things that you disagree with violently.
Yeah.
That's what the First
yep.
Amendment is there.
Yep.
Principle says that an individual has rights. That right means they can do whatever they damn well please as long as they don't interfere with anybody else. If they want to burn the flag, well, so be it. You may be offended by it. You may think it's disgusting. You may hate it. But you know what? They have the right to act as long as it's their flag.
As long as it's their flag.
Yeah.
Now, if
and,
they try to take my flag from me to burn it, look
well,
out.
That's
yeah.
a property issue. It's a property issue.
No. It's much more than a property issue. With
the principle
me anyway.
Is it the property issue?
I understand what you're saying, but what I'm telling you is this. There are issues and then there are issues. Burning a flag is a First Amendment protected right, as long as it's your flag. Beyond that, it is not.
If the principle exists, okay, you cannot decide that you don't want to abide by that principle if somebody does things you don't like.
That's
but
true.
But it's consistent with that principle.
That's true. You and I do not disagree on that.
And there are
I was
places,
just bringing up where that principle did not apply.
There are places where you and I don't agree on that principle basis because we interpret those principles differently.
Yes.
Okay? And I understand that exists, and you and I have, in a rational, reasonable dialogue, you know, reached a point where we understand that.
Yeah.
Okay?
And for our listeners, it is okay for conservatives to disagree.
Hell yeah!
It's okay.
Hell
as
yeah.
long as you do that from a principled position and you're willing to defend what your position is. And you do it factually, not based on emotion.
That's the problem, is that people want to take their principles only as long as it satisfies their desire or their perception of what is the right way to use those principles.
Yep.
And my argument was, you know, no. Either stand for your principles or just decide that you believe in what the Founding Fathers said. You like what the Founding Fathers said. But you know what? You know, you're just going to act in a way that makes you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And if that's the way you're going to be, that's fine. If you want to be a Republican that is a populist, that goes where everyone goes, and principles are not, you know, something to be bothered with, that's fine. But don't tell me your principles and then throw those principles out the window when it's inconvenient.
Exactly.
And that was the argument that was going on all weekend long, was this entire idea that you have to throw your principles out, otherwise you're not going to win. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I don't want to win if I didn't do it using my principles.
Yep, exactly.
And then you'll never be in a position of authority. So be it. At least I won't be compromised.
That's right. That's exactly
my
right.
My vote, and this is nothing, my vote is more valuable to me to be cast in a principled way than to be thrown out simply to win.
Yep. Yep. I mean, you and I have both said, and I believe it to be true, that when you vote for the lesser of two evils, you are still voting for evil.
Absolutely. Time to
yep.
stop that crap.
Yep.
As long as we allow the Republicans, and the Democrats do the same thing.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, you're going to have principled people on the left, you know, and there are people that I know that we talk to all the time that are principled people on the left.
Yes.
They're seriously just beside themselves about what Obama is doing. They're absolutely astonished. They're absolutely pissed off about what Obama is doing because, you know, they thought they were, you know, voting for a principled person. What they've got, you know, is a, you know, nutless piece of crap.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, look at Pat Caddell. I mean, my God. I mean, there is a liberal. Pat Caddell is a liberal. But he's the right kind of liberal. And he is willing to call out his unprincipled and less principled fellow travelers. And I'm not saying fellow travelers in a derogatory way. When they screw up. And he calls out Barack Obama and his agenda every time I've seen him on TV the last month or so. He's a principled liberal. And I appreciate him.
Those people are wonderful to talk to.
Oh, absolutely.
We disagree completely, but we get our points across. We talk,
yep.
you know, and then we have a nice dinner together.
Yep.
You know, because those are the kind of people that you want to have, you know. Newt Gingrich sat on that couch on the beach with Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, when he got up, that pile of steaming crap that was underneath there was his principles.
Yeah, it was. Jesus. Just.
You know, because he thought that was proof that, you know, she was someone he could talk to. Well, yeah, it was someone that he could talk to. Somebody could leave a piling stinking pile of crap behind. Newt spent 2 weeks after endorsing Scuzzolato, telling conservatives that they weren't being pragmatic, that they were
yep.
screwing things up, that they were throwing their votes away, that
yep.
they were creating horrible nightmares in the Republican Party,
mm-hmm.
you know, right up until the point where Scuzzolato started recommending the Democrat and working for the Democrat.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, right.
Hello? Is there any conservative that wanted her dumped as hard and fast as possible that didn't see that coming?
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, so, you know, that's my problem. That's where I was I was sitting there going, you know, we've got a huge conservative movement at this point.
Yes.
I think a lot of it is populist-oriented. I really, really do. I don't think they understand the concept of principles because that was my problem.
Mm-hmm.
That was my problem today
mm-hmm.
was that I realized that in this, what is probably somewhere in the vicinity of 12, maybe 15 million, you know, conservatives that are awakening, that there is probably, and I was being really pessimistic, there's probably 10% of them that are locked, solid, principle-oriented. And I thought, oh, man, are we screwed, you know, because we get into those positions where, you know, people have taken us at our word, and we walk into those halls, you know, as representatives or senators or city council members or state legislators, and we've argued we're the principal conservative movement, and we walk in there, and they go, well, you know, now I have to be pragmatic because that's how we get things done. We're so screwed.
Yep.
So screwed.
Yep. I mean, if the only motivation was to get into the office, then it's not enough. Because if you do not have your principles to fall back on and say, okay, here's a situation that I have. I need to look at my principles. How do I work this? And if you don't have a solid grounding in what your principles are, you're just all over the lot. You're making decisions based on, well, what's right now, not what is right not only now, but has been in the past and will be in the future.
Well, we have a visitor.
Oh, really? Cool.
And he and I have spent a fair amount of time talking over the last couple of days.
Uh-huh.
Butch Porter, Chairman of the American Conservative Party's Executive Committee. Butch, how are you?
Hey, how are y'all?
I'm doing great, Butch. How are you?
I'm pretty good. You know, you guys are learning. You just don't let me on until the last 13 minutes.
That's because you know how much you like to talk.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. You guys do a much better job of interrupting me than some people do. So I
really okay.
Mm-hmm. I did want to tell you guys that we are 0-1 in elections in the United States right now. So we got our first loss out of the way. Would you like to hear it?
Sure.
Yeah.
Adairsville City Council in Adairsville, Georgia, the state chair of the Georgia Conservative Party. I think the vote count came out to 170-something to 130-something. Mr. Schwambeck was defeated. But nonetheless, what's that?
Good fight. Well run.
It was well run. It was honorably run. And he, you know, a lot of people were amazed that he was able to get that close over a month. He only started a month ago. So.
Wow.
So that's our first foray into the electoral process.
Mm-hmm.
As official Conservative Party or American Conservative Party candidate. Meanwhile, have you looked at the Hoffman numbers lately? Is everybody, you guys?
Yeah, we're about, it's 49-44% right now in favor of Owens.
Oh, okay, that's a little better than it was a few minutes ago.
Uh-huh, okay.
So what do y'all think about Virginia? Y'all.
Oh, man. Yeah, oh, geez.
Wow.
That was incredible. I mean, not just the fact that three good people won there, but the margins that they won by.
Well, the fact that they were all fairly equal, in other words, like right now we have a Republican lieutenant governor and a Democrat governor. So
mm-hmm.
I mean, they don't always match up, and
mm-hmm. right
this time they're within a point of being dead spot on. So I think it would be hard to argue that this wasn't a statement
exactly
against Washington, D.C. The thing is, what some people probably don't realize is that Virginia has voted for the opposite party, I think, the last four or five elections.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the presidential election goes one way, Virginia goes the other way in response. It's been like
mm-hmm.
that several times.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we're more affected by D.C. than most
sure.
states.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
It's much more likely to be a statement here than it is to be a statement in New Jersey or New York against
mm-hmm.
the Obama administration. So, but 20 points is 20
oh,
points.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's huge. Huge.
Yeah, that's a drumming. And also the Republican Party gained at least two seats in the New York in the Northern Virginia area as well in the state delegate.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
I don't know what it looks like downstate, but I know up here there were two, and they weren't just. I mean, there was one 59%.
Oh boy,
an incumbent lost by 18 points.
Oh my goodness.
In suburban D.C.
Wow.
Incumbent Democrat in suburban D.C. lost by 18 points.
Man.
Mostly because he went really, really, really negative. And people,
you know, I think people are just so tired of that politics as usual crap. I think people are waking up and saying, you know what, if you don't give me a reason to vote for you, I'm going to vote against you.
And it's, you know, it's funny, you know, Bill, you and I talked a little earlier today about, you know, vetting candidates for Congress in 2010. We're beginning to start that process, and we're putting together the brain power to do that, as you know. And I think that's one of the criteria, and I've had a lot of conversations with Mr. Moon down in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the things that we talked about, and since we've had that conversation, I really pay attention to these things when I look at these candidates' website. If all they can do is talk down the incumbent, then, you know, I really don't have a lot of use for them.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, I mean, if you can't give us a reason to vote for you, why should we vote for you?
Yeah, right. Smart.
I mean, I don't know, you know, a lesser of two evils doesn't impress anymore.
Nope, it sure doesn't.
But I think the Hoffman race will be interesting to see how that turns out, because either way, Republicans lose. I think if Hoffman loses in part because Scalzafasa endorsed the Democrat, then the Republicans have bailed on their principles.
Mm-hmm.
And if Hoffman, so Republicans lose. And if Hoffman wins, then Republicans lose. So I think it's a victory for conservatives, regardless of what happens at the end of the night. I think Scalzafasa sealed defeat for the Republican Party in New York the other day.
But
meanwhile, and the party is kicking. Just to give you a 2-minute update, we're going to have conference calls in six different states over the next few weeks. A few of which already have designated. We're coming to California again, Bill.
Yeah. I'm ready.
We're gonna give it one more shot, man. I think we can get something going out there. Some pretty excited people, even in Pelosi's district, there's some pretty pissed off people.
Cool.
Can't imagine why.
Yeah.
A conservative would be pissed off enough to pick another party. That's crazy.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, as of 20 minutes ago, quite 20 minutes ago, about 15 minutes ago, Owens is up 49-46, but just so you understand what that means, there's 1,600 votes, 25 between the two. Scalzafasa has 2,500 votes.
Wow.
So there's only 1,600 votes between the Democrat and Hoffman.
So
and
she's a spoiler.
2,500 votes.
Well, I've got some later news than that. It looks like there is about my screen just went blank. It's finally going to update. Maybe. Yeah. Well, never mind. Go on.
I'm watching Fox News. I'm waiting for the ticker to.
I've
49-46.
I've got News 10 now. Here it comes. Come on. Okay, with 67% of the precincts, it's 49% for Owens, 46% for Hoffman, and 5% for Scalzafasa. And she's been holding real steady at that 5%. She started out at that, and as the numbers have gone up, she stayed right at 5% with correspondingly larger numbers. He appears, let me see, Hoffman appears to be about 3,500 votes behind. So if they're going into the rural areas in his strength, maybe so. Who knows?
There are three, word is that there are three counties that will not report online.
Ah.
And one of them, whose machines are broken, will not be reporting until tomorrow.
Oh, great. Thank you very much.
I'm not going to sleep tonight. Thanks for that. That's great.
Yeah. Well, that means I don't have to stay up.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, exactly. That's one way of looking at it.
Yep.
And so that everyone is aware that I'm just thrilled to pieces.
Yes.
It looks like No on One has succeeded in Maine. I don't think they've actually called it yet, but the numbers are getting pretty significant for
No on One. What is that?
Which means that that was the attempt to get the legislatively passed gay marriage thrown out by the voters, and the voters have said, nope, we want it to stay. Thank you very much. We'll take gay marriage. It's okay. So the voters are approving gay marriage in Maine at this point.
Apparently, Fox News is reporting that Corzine has conceded.
Cool beans. I like it.
Yeah, he's speaking right now, actually.
Cool. I'm looking at Twitter, so. And I know that you don't do Twitter all that much there.
I can't do Twitter, man.
Oh, man. You got to get on there.
I've tried. I have turned over the Twitter account to the ACP to another human.
Okay. Well,
I can't do it. I'm Facebook guy. Facebook guy.
You have to use a third-party piece of software to do it because it's just...
I know, and I have a Mac, and I'm not going to go... I'm just not going to do it. Look, Facebook page is all I can handle. You guys know that the average age of the average Twitter user is higher than the average Facebook user.
I believe that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Found that interesting. Somebody told me that who does that kind of stuff.
Cool.
Actually, it was one of our members in Missouri actually told me that.
And that makes perfect sense to me, actually, because, believe it or not, conservatives are dominating Twitter also.
Yes.
Sure.
Yep.
Oh, no doubt. So, no doubt.
A significant portion of people are conservative on Twitter, which is, again, not surprising in my opinion.
Hmm.
So apparently somebody said that Washington has gay marriage on the ballot today, too. I hadn't heard a word about it.
Yeah, you know what? I think that's true.
Issues in the ACP?
Is out of Washington, and I thought I saw a tweet from her on regarding that.
I'm going to find out what's going on there. It's going to happen. I want everyone to know that who has been following us in the green room, that we're not going to have green room tonight.
Nope.
So when we go off tonight, we're off tonight. Both Bill and I have significant things to do.
Yep.
Bill, you got 45 seconds. Butch, thanks for visiting with us.
Always a pleasure.
You
Bill,
betcha.
You got about 40 seconds.
That's fine.
Away.
I'll just do a shout-out to Just Me Tammy, Arkansas Traveler, and to Jeremy Blaze, who says he had to run, but he likes what he hears, and he'll try to tune in again.
Okay. It's been a good day for conservatives.
Yes, it has.
Hoffman pulls it out in the end. That'll make it a clean sweep as far as I'm concerned. And all in all, a good night. Thank you for all those people that are voting today. It was helpful.
You bet.
Bill, have a good trip.
Thank you very much. Going up to Seattle to see my grandbaby.
Good night, everyone.
Night, all. Night, Butch.
Bill?
We done?
We're good.
Cool.
Another
one in the can.
Another one in the can.
Yep.
And I have 18 people have started following me on Twitter in the last hour.
Cool.
I don't
That's
think
excellent.
It had anything to do with the radio show, actually.
No?
No, I don't. So.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't
All
know.
Right.
Alrighty.
Have a safe trip. Give me
you
a call
betcha.
When you get back.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.